Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Sanctuary Studio in Landover Hills, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. And we thank God for everyone tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. So we're going to get started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to stay, show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly divide your word of truth. Bless us, God. We will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking again at the book of Matthew this evening. Dr. G and Sheila G, they're at a concert with their daughter, Jessie, so they'll probably be calling in a little bit later. But we want to invite your attention to the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew. 12th chapter of the book of Matthew. And in the 12th chapter, Jesus is so much a legalistic thing. And he's talking to the Pharisees and the leaders of that time about not to get carried away with being legalistic or everything is by the law, and not understanding that the laws are put in place for the people to be able to live. And if the laws are not interpreted right, that it becomes something of nothing that's pleasing to God, but something of a I got you type of system. And that's not what God intended for. He didn't intend it to be an I got you type of thing, but it intended to show us that we needed God. And that was basically what the law that God gave Moses was, is to show his people we needed to depend on God. And even so today, there's nothing under the sun. We need to depend on God. There's no way we can carry out every law, every jot, every tittle, everything, book by book, line by line, and be perfect. But God wanted us to know that if we depended on him, who is perfect, that we can get along with, number one, him, and then we can get along with each other. But the religious rulers during this time, when we study in chapter 12, they were very legalistic, and they were trying to live a law that they couldn't live. And so what they would do is they would try to make other people fail at it so that they could look good. And a lot of times when people have personal problems, what they do is they try to make other people look bad. They try to, you know, well, I'm going to make myself good, look good by putting you down. And, you know, that's what happens a lot of times. Girl, when you see someone that has an issue with someone, always talking about someone, always finding fault with someone, what happens is underneath that or underlying is that they have personal problems themselves. So they try to deflect the attention off their problem onto someone else. So these religious rulers had a problem, and the problem was they really didn't have the proper relationship with God. And so what they tried to do was stay so rigid on these rules and laws to try to make themselves look important, but in actuality, they weren't doing anything to glorify God or help their fellow man. So let's get chapter 12, beginning verse 1. And it says, at that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day. And you know, the Bible talks about we should work in 6 days, and on the seventh day, we should rest. So that was the law that was given that you know, you shouldn't do anything on the Sabbath day. And so here it is on the Sabbath day, Jesus getting ready to show himself as being greater than the Sabbath and to really show them how silly they were and how trifling they were about trying to pick people apart about little fine details of the law, not realizing that man was supposed to live, and the law was here to be his guide, but it wasn't to overrule what God originally had intended for man to go by. So let's look at that verse 1. Disciples were anhungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. And this is how petty they were. These folks were hungry, right? They wanted to get something to eat, and they're in the middle of corn, right? But the corn was still on the stalk. And so their version of the law was, well, you guys are going to have to go hungry because you'll break the law if you work and take the corn out of the stalk. How twisted is that? They'd rather see someone starve to death than go ahead and break the stalk and pull the corn out of it. And so this is how petty these people were. They were just real simple-minded. You run across real simple-minded people like that. It's like, okay, so I'm just going to starve to death because if I work by removing this corn, the husk and everything from it, then that's considered work, and that's considered breaking the law, and that considers me offending God. I mean, how simple can you be? Let's look at what happens in verse 2. But when Pharisees saw it, oh my God, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. So they running in tattletale. You ever heard a tattletale? Oh, I'm a tell. Oh, y'all done took the corn on the Sabbath day. See, they wrong. But there was provisions made in the law that if someone was hungry, it was okay to take food off of someone's field. It was okay. And but these folks, they wanted to pick and choose what was right. And so here Jesus confronts them in verse 3. But he said unto them, have ye not read what David did when he was hungered and they were with him? And he's going back to the to David, King David. He was on the run from Saul. He and his crew, if you will, were hungry, and they went into the holy place, into the temple, where the priests were. And there was a table of showbread that was in the holy place, and it was made every day, and it was the old bread was eaten by the priests in the temple when they were working in the temple. And when David came in there, he was hungry, and they asked him to give him the bread. And so what did he do? He didn't say, oh, this is holy bread. You can't eat it. Y'all just got to die. They gave him the bread and ate it. Is it that we as humans, we can hold to certain rules when it's convenient for us, find fault when it's someone else. Give you a perfect example. All of us have gone down the street and we've seen a sign that says no U-turn. Isn't it? Right? But in a pinch, or when we're in a hurry, we're going to grab that steering wheel, we're going to palm that steering wheel, we're going to put that signal on sometimes, and what are we going to do? We're going to hang at you. Right? Am I right? It was expedient that I needed to what? Hang at you because I'm running late. I can't go 10 blocks down, 10 minutes away. I'm going to have to hit this U-turn right now. Right? Even though the sign says what? No U-turn. But let us on another day become this way. Right? Might have been the same situation too. They're going to hit the thing or what? Bend the thing with your hand and make it you right in front of you. And the first thing, if we're not careful, it'll come out of our office. Fool, don't you mess or what? Are you there? Can't you see the sun sit right there? But we have forgot 3 months ago when we was coming down there and we needed to hit that jump. Right? I'm not the only one. No, I must be the only one. I must be the only one that had to do it. But we can find fault and tell and point the law out to them when they do it. And a lot of times we may be behind them and they're holding up traffic or make their left and rush out. You know the time is between the time of this time, no left turn. And people laying all on, can't you read the sign? Find the fault. But let us have to make that left turn. I'm just going to take this left turn. They blow, boom, boom, boom. You're going to make your left turn, right? What is it about us? Amen? what is it about us? But I'm going to say I'm the only one. I'm the only one. I had to make the U-turn. I'm the only one that had to make that left turn. People, blah, blah, blah. And then I'll come back 3 weeks later. Somebody holds up dragging. I'm like, fool, fool, fool. Can't you see this man? Why are you holding up traffic? You need to go down there. You should have left the house early. Wah, 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 wah. I'm laying on the wall. Whoa, whoa. Go ahead and turn. But here these clowns are. These folks are hungry. But if you do what, you're going to break the law. But I'm just going to have to starve to death. And he said, go back to David. Go back to King David. David was hungry. He went to the church, to the holy place, ate the bread off the table of showbread that was dedicated for the priest to eat while they were in there working. And he ate it. And he didn't defile himself, didn't defile the temple. But what he's trying to teach them is that God has common sense. Common sense. God has blessed us with what? Common sense. So if there's bread sitting up here in the pulpit and you're hungry, I say, oh, no, that's Pass ain't nowhere around, or there's 5 loaves, and Pat only need 1 loaf. Well, that's set aside for the ministers, right? Not for them. And here you are hungry. What's the common sense say? What's the human? What would a godly thing be to do? Yeah, man, eat as much as you want. More than you want to order. Just like the water. The water will sit over there just like water. Perfect example. Brandon said, can I have the water? Oh, that's the minister's water. You can't have that water. Get the water, man. Thirsty, get the water. And if the deacon sit on the front end and on a Thursday and somebody wants to sit up there, oh, you can't sit there. That's where the deacon's supposed to sit. It's a thing where God is not that legalistic. Passion on humans. He understands needs. His law is a perfect law, but we interpret it all wrong. So let's look at verse 4. It says, how he entered into the house of God, talking about David, and did eat the shewbread which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. So it was a necessity that they would eat. And so in verse 5, he goes on to explain a little bit further. He said, "Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blamed?" So what do you mean, the priests in the temple? In the temple, they're constantly making sacrifice. In other words, they're working on the Sabbath day. It's like your pastor, your minister, on the Sabbath day, he's working by preaching and teaching. He's working on the Sabbath day. These priests were cutting up meat, draining blood, putting stuff on the altar, and making sacrifice. They were working, but even though it was Sabbath day, they still did it. It did profane the Sabbath day. So we have to look at it in a way as God is not a legalistic God. God is not going to persecute people for doing the right thing, for doing something that makes sense, for doing something that is only helping someone. And it's sort of like when you have, or you're going out to ministers to somebody, and you want to tell them about John 3:16, and you want to tell them about the goodness of God, and they sit there with no clothes, no shoes, no coat, and hungry. You want to tell them, "Turn to the Bible, my brother. Let me show you what John 3:16 says." And you know what they're going to tell you? I'm not going to use the curse words on the air. They're going to tell you, "Take your Bible. I'm hungry, I'm cold, and I have nothing to eat, nowhere to stay. And all you do is tell me about some words." But if you go over there, some hot soup, some shoes, coat, take them somewhere inside with you, then what's the chance that they might be more receptive to the word of God? It's the actions that say I have compassion, and this is what God wants us to have, God-like compassion, to understand that we can't be so legalistic. We can't be to the point where we're speaking law, working on the Sabbath, like it's something that, oh, God's going to get you. But he instructed these folks to work on the Sabbath and to understand that there's some common sense built into the way God has created his human being, recreate us as human beings. But listen to verse 6. It says, "But say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple." So it's talking about himself. He said, "I'm greater than the temple." He said, "I supersede all of that." In verse 7, he says, "But if you had known this, what this means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you will not have condemned the guiltless." So God says he prefers mercy over sacrifice. It makes more sense. It's more pliable to have mercy than to have the sacrifice. We're going to be rigid to law, and if they die for not eating, that was the law. And God says, "No, I'd rather have mercy and say, I understand what the law says, but show bread, we're going to give them the corn, because the humanness and the compassion that we have supersedes the rigidness of the law." That's why when you have laws like when they had, when I was growing up in the 1980s, they had laws for crack cocaine and they had laws for powder cocaine. And because the majority of the people who were of color were selling crack cocaine at that time, they had 15-year mandatory sentences for a certain weight. But the same weight in powder cocaine, you had a smaller amount of sentences. So a lot of guys in my neighborhood, I would say like 80% of them in my neighborhood, they became street pharmaceuticalists because it was good money. They were running around in Mercedes-Benz and 4Runners, and they were wearing fur coats in the summertime, and you know, got cocaine, big money, quick, fast, live fast, die young. That's what they were doing. And then a lot of them didn't die from the drugs or from the the violence of it, they got caught, and what was their first offense or not, the law said, give them 15 years. Mandatory minimum. And I just saw today that our president, President Obama, he's commuting a lot of those folks that had sentences like that, because it doesn't make sense. The law didn't make sense. And so a lot of that is being turned back. But when you have laws that don't make sense and people don't know how to interpret the law, it does nothing for society. It doesn't bring up society. It pulls society down. It pulls your people down. The people say they're hungry, and I'm sitting over there, and there's 30,000 ears of corn, and it's the Sabbath day. But I'm hungry. I can't go. There's no way in the world I'm going to eat 30,000 ears of corn. But if someone catches me eating one of those ears of corn, then I'm breaking the Sabbath, and I'm condemned. That's not what the intent of the law was. And so you have to have judges, you have to have people in place that understand the intent of the law. So when people hand down sentences, there has to be some type of mercy or understanding of the circumstances to be either give probation, to either give a lesser sentence, or on more egregious offenses, to give maximum. But you have to have someone, a judge, that says, okay, these are the facts. This is what we're considering. This is the proper sentence for this. Yes, it was drugs, but what was the scale? So that's what's been reconciled today in the United States. The defense didn't justify the punishment that was being put out. Especially young African-American males or Hispanic males were getting in front of it, and they're just putting them in jail. And it's similar to this. The people, you know, they have these rigid laws, and they were like, this is what it is. Can't do it on the Sabbath day, and slams you down for eating corn on the Sabbath day. But Jesus reminded them of King David. He reminded them that he was greater, and that mercy prevails over the law. Yeah, you have a mandatory sentence, but circumstances says that these things were a cause of you to be in a situation. And the person handing down the law will have mercy or have leniency and say, instead of giving you 25 to life, we're going to give you suspended probation, 3 years probation. But you have to understand laws are important, but interpretation and administering the laws are even great for a human society. And this is what Jesus said, I'd rather have mercy in verse, let's look at that, in verse 7. But if you had known this mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless. And he found those people that there was no fault with them eating corn in a field when they were hungry. But the Pharisees' motive, and you have to understand what people's motives are, and they call it, I believe it's, I don't know if it's a French word or not, modus operandi, or is that a Latin word? You know, it's a Latin word. But the modus operandi was to incarcerate as many as they can and create business for the localities or the states or the counties. And they were bringing private industries that they were making money off of the people being in jail. And they were getting money from government to pay for housing and taking care of these people. And so the more people they got in there, the more money they got, the better their little economy was. So they locking people up. You take the example of, I believe it was Ferguson, where the police were giving people tickets. And then if they didn't pay the ticket in 10 days, they would increase it by $30. And if you didn't increase by $30, it was a warrant for your arrest. And then you got locked up. Then it was $1,000 for your bail. And so what was happening is they were funding city government based upon lock people up just for a tail light out. And they knew that you didn't have the money to pay the $50 for a ticket, so they knew the next time that you stopped, you know, it's going to be more and more and more and more. And what happened is, and you'd have to borrow money, and they'd have to borrow, but they were keeping the city going, not based upon economic growth for everyone and jump for everyone, but it was based upon a mentality that people had that said, well, we'll misuse and abuse these people under the guise of the law to help support the city. And so, yes, it was the law, but the law was being misapplied. And so that's what happened in Ferguson. And people just got tired of it. And, you know, it's sad, but that mentality is still prevalent today that people want to stay in power and stay in power on the backs of somebody else under the guise of we're just maintaining the law. And it's no compassion. There's no mercy. You end up in jail or dead because you had a taillight or you made an illegal lane change without using your signal. And so now you're dead in a jail cell or in the middle of the street because it was against the law to put the blinker on into the other lane. So now you're pulled over, now you're arrested, now you're fined, and some kind of way you're dead. Illegal lane change. But it's the law. And so they'll get up in the courtroom and say, well, I fear for my life because after they made an illegal lane change, they were pissed off at me for pulling them over. Wouldn't you be pissed off too? I just pulled over. And how many times have you seen police officers drive like an illegal U-turn? How many times during our drive from here to there do we not put our signal? Does everybody put your signal on every time? Nobody does. And so that's where the mercy and the compassion comes in. But when you don't have the people who are in authority that have mercy and compassion that Christ is talking about, that's where you have societal problems where people rebel against authority. That's where the problem is. And so that's why people were looking down on the Jews who were supposed to be an example to everyone else is because they misused their standing or their place of authority because they wanted to be about them and they really weren't concerned about being about God. So I've run my mouth a lot tonight, but I just want to get some feedback from you all about what do you think about mercy compared to rigid legalism, the rigid law.
Perceives the law in this aspect, that the law was meant to make us realize, and that's true what Pastor Kaycon said, that we needed God. Mercy kicks in where something we don't deserve when we break the law, but mercy supersedes that because it shows compassion. And that's something that we have to realize, especially if we call ourselves Christians or we represent Christ's ambassadors, that we have to show more mercy and love towards those who don't know and for our fellow brothers and sisters, because we too can be caught in error,
mm-hmm.
and we want mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah. Me personally, I think there's a lot of ways to look at this.
Mm-hmm.
I can definitely speak from my own experience where the laws of man compared to the laws of God. And God shows us mercy all the time because he's given us the Ten Commandments. He's given other scriptures that have laws and rules we're supposed to abide by. When we don't, because we sin, born in sin, we sin every day, we're still blessed and he still shows us mercy, compassion. Now, you compare that to the laws of man, the flesh tends to get involved because some laws are meant for the betterment of society to keep it protected, but you have people enforcing those laws correctly or just not applying those laws as they should be, or politicians making laws to fatten their pockets, then it becomes a whole ordeal where now you start questioning what the better interest of society is for, and let's just keep it real, African Americans. A lot of times we are the target of those laws, but there is no mercy. I mean, there have been times where I have encountered law enforcement officials where they will apply some, say, hey, you got to tell it. Hey, I'll just give you a warning. Hey, I appreciate it, brother. Thank you. But a lot of times when we see on the news, when we see on TV, it's not the case. I mean, think about in the last 2-3 years, how many lives we've lost over traffic stops or people racial profiling and things of that nature. So I definitely think that the laws of man have in some sense of way not only corrupted society, but corrupted the people who are supposed to enforce those laws to where they take it upon themselves to interpret them differently. But the funny part is the more powerful man's laws, and he shows up mercy, but yet the inferior laws of man, which we're not going to be here forever or be under the guidance of, you know, until we move on to heaven, once we pass, don't really make a whole lot of difference. But yet you find that lives are being lost and time away from your family's been taken. I mean, 15, 20 years in prison. There are murderers who do less time than people, you know, were doing crack cocaine. And remember those times in the 80s when that happened. But it's really night and day when it comes to looking at the laws of the Lord as opposed to the laws of man. But, I mean, I'm scared for what the future holds, especially with, you know, on the horizon of new presidents potentially at risk. And I pray every day that that man does not make office. But it only just goes to show that, you know, power in the laws of man and money
right.
a whole lot in today's society as opposed to actually looking for the well-being, what the actual intent or the purpose of laws are, is to protect people, you know, from those who break law, but also to be fair and to show some type of mercy. But in this day and age, we don't see that.
I think that what we get from God, we should also give to our fellow man. So God forgives us, so we should forgive, and we want to be forgiven. Same thing in this case, you know, we should have mercy, just like God has mercy on us.
Amen.
And
God for mercy.
And I think that, you know, God placed laws for order, but what I always read, no matter where you are in the Bible, is love, to love one another and to be good people, and that trumps all. So his law is to love one another. There's law on the land, you know, for us to have order and not to have, you know, disorder and
right.
all that. But so I think that there's level to even the law. You know, there's 100,000 laws, and a lot of them may contradict one another, but there's a level to it. It's like, well, you know, this, but then something trumps that, then something trumps that, and love trumps all.
And that was so true back then that the Pharisees, God gave a certain amount of laws, and then they came up with their own law. Like you said, another one, another one, another one. But God's love transcended all of that. And it's so great to see that the word of God says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So the law that God gave in Genesis, I believe it was the second chapter, is if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. That's what God said. But God loved us now so much, mercy upon us, that he can I don't think we can fathom, go down to that depth in our finite mind. If someone would love you enough, says, I told you not to do it. You did it anyway. Now you have been convicted to die. But I'm going to step in and tell the one who convicted you to die, I know they've been convicted and they're dead to rights. But I'm going to step in and I'm going to die for them so they can live. How do we get our brain around that? That God loved you so much, knew you was going to mess up, but says, I'm willing to take the pain. I'm willing to take on the shame so so that they won't have to go through that. That's, you can go to depth of the sea and not find. There's a song that said, couldn't find nobody. It was a couple of years ago. Nobody greater. Yeah. Nobody greater than God. Looked around the world, couldn't find nobody. And to understand that depth of that love should have a profound effect on God's people's heart, that it would be hard for us to be so hardened and rigid when it comes to people when they've offended us. I've seen people that get shoe stepped on will have a terrible day because they had a scuff on their brand new Nike. Have a bad day. Scuff on their brand new Nike. Oh, man, wait. But you got to understand that God's love is greater than that. I'm going to go to the phone lines, and we're going to go to the last four digits. Last four digits are your phone number. We're going to go to the last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good evening, should I say.
Good afternoon.
Love is a, Pastor, as you were saying, is the most crucial aspect. That's the whole essence of everything. And when we think about God, we have to have laws. First of all, we have to have law in order to have peace and not confusion, and for people to respect, because people don't like the respect of the people.
That's true.
So we have to have laws. And laws weren't made for people to have all that much control and power over one another, but because the nature of man, we end up doing that. But one of the scriptures that I want to share is in Romans, where it says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And so we can truly say that Jesus, he done that when he died for us, because he knew that we couldn't keep the law. So it was a fulfillment of love there. It was compassion there. It was mercy there.
Amen.
And so that's why he tells us, and he wants us to live that type of life. And we're going to be mistreated. There are going to come times in our life, no matter what we do for people, they're going to mistreat us. But and we can't always be on get back. We have to love them in spite. The word also tells us, God tells us that vengeance is mine, so I'm going to repay. And sometimes we just have to wait on God and let God take care of people who do us wrong, because they are going to pay one way or another.
But, that's right.
But sometimes we can't stay in that passive state. When we know that something is wrong, we do have to speak up.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we're going to go to next caller, 7971. 7971, you are on the air.
Yes. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
This is a very broad subject, because when you're talking about the law here on earth and you're talking about people and the things that people will know that's right, and they know what's wrong, and they are the first ones to holler. Well, God, nobody's perfect. They always have excuses for what they do is wrong. And even after you show compassion and let them get away with things, I'm speaking of a supervisory on a job. And I was the chief steward of our civil rights division. And the employees, they test you to the max. And you will show compassion, you will love them, you will show them mercy. They'll tell you what they're not going to do, but come right back around and not only break the law, they put you in jeopardy and a whole bunch of other people in jeopardy. So you have to be in the position to know, especially when you're a Christian, and ask God all the time, Lord, how should I handle this?
That's right.
Should I, you know, throw the book at them? Should I show mercy? Have I given you, ask yourself, have I given them an opportunity to do the right thing? And that's why you have to have the law here on earth to govern people.
Yep, absolutely.
Because people have all kinds of personalities, all kinds of ways of thinking.
Jekyll
and
Hyde.
They will hide behind God's mercy. They will throw it at you in a heartbeat. Nobody's perfect. God said he'd forgive you. Why can't you forgive me? But they forget this is the law of the land.
That's
and the
right.
law of the land is different from God's law.
Right.
Man made that law. And God has a different law that governs us. And it is love. It's living a righteous life. It's being humble.
Right.
It's being respectful. It's being able to acknowledge that this is something that you don't do. And in order to get that mercy, you got to respect authority.
There you go.
Even as Christians, we have to respect what God says for us to do in order for him. And even when we do that, he still shows us mercy. But the law of the land here that we live on, that's why they have the circuit court, the district court, court of appeals, the Supreme Court is the highest. And they have a way of utilizing it to relieve you of whatever you have done. And that's when the mercy comes in.
That's right.
And then they have a way of saying, this is the last draw. You're going to pull this time. You do the crime. And we as people, even with our own children, they can work your last nerve. You let them get away with this. Let them get away with it. Well, you didn't do it the last time. Yeah, your time is up. This time you're going to get a spanking.
<That's right.
laughs> So it's a judgment call that we have to know it when we see it.
Right.
Be able to get good results when you get a little harsh in your punishment and things like that. And that's what they. That's what it means when you. It says that you show compassion, and you show mercy, but you have to be in a position to know when it's time to use that. People will take advantage of you being a kind-hearted person, you being a person that you know you got. The law is here that says you can't, and you're trying to get them to see why you can't. You get them out of one mess. And they jump right back into the same mess.
Mm-hmm.
It's so difficult. And it's not that you don't love them. Sometimes you do it to protect them.
Right.
And when you do that, you get good results sometimes. And then there are sometimes nothing you do. And that's when you have to call on the dear master. God,
that's right.
I give it to you. I give it to you. I can't. It's out of my hand. And as my husband would say, that's when you're getting in his business. They have to pay the price, pay the cost. You have to turn it over to him. And the wrath of God, I don't think nobody wants the wrath of God to come down.
My goodness.
It's not a good thing to happen to you. I wouldn't want it on nobody. I wouldn't want it to happen to nobody because his word is what we're supposed to live by. That's our guide for everything in our lives. And when you get past where you don't recognize it, don't respect it, don't live it, the wages of sin, as my mom would say, is death. And it's for real.
That's right.
It's for real. You have to be very mindful of the life you live, the people you associate with, even to allow your children to associate with. Because you pay a mean price.
Sure.
Disobedience. and things that are not of God is dangerous, dangerous. We see it every day, every time you turn your TV on, and you say, how in the world did that happen? But it is going on around us each and every day, and it's so sad. And it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. And that's why we have to have laws on earth to govern these things.
You have to have governing laws.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next subject. We think, let's call it, this is a broad subject. You got to have a balance. You got to really understand the law's intent is to help people. And we have to understand that God gives people pieces of authority, but we have to play our role, participate in the process. I know in the United States we have voting, and we have to participate in the process to elect people who would be in authority that would represent us in a manner that would be pleasing to God. And a lot of times people get frustrated or people try to manipulate the system where you don't have a say. But that's why you have to be cognizant of what rules, what laws are, so you can voice your opinion and say, okay, you're saying this, but this is what the law says. You know, that was what the whole civil rights movement entailed was, we the people, and what the Constitution said was not being fairly followed for people of color. So through the various civil rights leaders, they took the law of the land, of we people, and said, okay, if this is your Constitution, this is your platform, this is the law of the land, this is what you're standing on, why does not apply to the all men are created equal and have inalienable rights? And why are we not treated, why are we treating like aliens? And they took it to the high court of the land, and they won hard fought, a lot of bloodshed, hard fought, a lot of organizing, a lot of people had to get together and to remain steadfast, remain committed to God, remain all this civil disobedience, nonviolence, following God's lead, following God's leaders to go and present a winning case. And the winning case was, if these are the laws of your land, you're not following them, you need to do something different to follow. And progress was made. And when we begin to start following God's law in that manner and start not being hypocrites but being an example of what, you know, God's law is in our life with his compassion, then we can go and we can be an example to people. But when people say, you say you're a child of God, but you're acting like the enemy. And so, you know, we become hypocritical and we become ineffective, and the cause of Christ suffers because people of God don't know his word, won't live his word, and won't be an example of his word to those that don't know it. It becomes like this thing, again, civil rights. It's like, well, you guys are telling a lie. You're living a lie. You're saying, you know, we're created equal. We have inalienable rights, and we should have equal justice under the law. And you're telling us separate but unequal. And it goes really deep. You have to understand that we have to know what the law is. We have to interpret it, and we have to be willing to stand up, participate in the process. Same thing with our Christianity. We have to know what it is. We have to participate in the process. If we see some people acting ungodly, are they learning that from us? Are we becoming stumbling blocks, or are we living a godly life before them so that they can understand and see what a godly life is like? And so we have to operate in the boundaries of the word of God. That is our law. That is our biblical instruction. And to not have people say, yeah, you say that's your biblical instruction, but you're not living it, you're a big hypocrite. And that's one of the worst things that a Christian can do, is to say one thing about God and then live another. And it creates unflattering impression for God. So we're going to go to the next caller. Next caller, last four digits, 7348. 7348, you are on the air. All right, they must be listening in. All right, go to the next caller, 2598. 2598, you are on the air. Five nine eight. Must be listening in. Must be a deep subject tonight. Everybody's just tuning in. But just to look quickly back at verse 8, I mean chapter 12 of Matthew, verse 8. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And so when we begin to emulate Christ, we don't have to worry about being so legalistic. When you begin to start having compassion, when you begin to start behaving, acting like Christ, when the Christ in you begins to start showing up, in other words, you don't have to worry about what you're out of bounds, because Jesus came and he said, I came to do the will of my Father. And he also said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so what should happen is, as we learn more and more and become more and more like Christ, we should be able to say, when you see me, you've seen the Father, you've seen Christ. And so we ask the question, what are we looking like? And if we're looking like Christ and we're acting like Christ, then we're operating in his will. And we're operating in his will, we won't be doing the things that are contrary to his will. And so that's the whole ball game itself, is to learn how to be more like Christ so that you don't have to worry about breaking the law. It's sort of like if you're going down 95 going to Florida, and you know that the speed limit on this stretch is 70 miles an hour, and you have in your mind, well, I'm not going to go over 70 miles an hour every turn and every opening. You're not straining your neck to see the police are there. The state trooper. I know you know about state troopers when you're going down the highway. and if you're going 80 miles an hour, you know the speed limit is 70. Every time there's an overpass, every time there's a opening in the tree, especially when you go in Virginia, opening, you wait to see the state trooper in there, and you crane it, and you have this anxiety, is there a state trooper there? And so the whole time you break the law and you have this anxiety. But if you know speed limit's not over 70, I'm going to stay on 70. Might go 72, 73. I'll never get pulled over. You have no anxiety. You're not breaking the law, because even at 73, they're giving you some grace and mercy. But you tick that thing up to 77, and you go slamming through there, state boy can pop out on you. Amen? Because you're breaking the law. He'll be lenient for, they say, maybe 5. If they're under 7, they say a lot of times they'll be lenient, won't pull you over. But as soon as you get that 7, be the 70, you go 67, 78, oh yeah, you're getting a ticket. And you get points on your license, and you're going to have to pay a fine. But if you stay within that law and you stay within that mercy, you can make it. And think, the difference between me doing 73 and 78 miles an hour, how fast are they going to get me to Florida? It might get me there 10 minutes early. Maybe. Is it worth it in the long run? And so that's what we say. If we learn to be more like Christ, we operate in his grace and his mercy. We don't have to worry about breaking the law, because we know we're doing what he wants us to do. And so not always, okay, did I do this right? Did I do this right? I know what he's doing. I'm staying with him. He's bound. So when we have conversations, we're not cussing people out. When we have conversations, we're doing the wrong thing. We have conversations, we're making decisions, we're in the will of God, so I'm not always worried about what I'm going to say, because I know God, God knows me, and he says, if I ask what I want in his name, in accordance with his will, it shall be done. So that's the way I need to operate. Same thing. Again, if you think that you're going to operate outside of the will of God, and think that you're going to get blessed. It's just like the truth that's going to come out from behind that tree. You think you're going to be able to keep going 78 and 80 miles an hour? I guarantee you, your luck going to run out. Your time going to run out. You're going to pull over. Anybody been pulled over? I've been pulled over. Anybody ever pulled over? Oh, stay boy, pull that over. And then get up on your license light. Where you going, huh? You know what speed limit is on this road? You keep doing it, God, contrary to the will of God. He's going to be over. Amen. He's going to say, where you going, son? Don't you understand, contrary to my word? I don't care who you are. What's done in the dark, you might go to Florida 10 times. But on the 11th time, state boy going to get you. But if you stay within the boundaries of the law and that grace, and the reason why they give you that grace is because they know that speedometer is always accurate. And so you might be thinking you're doing 70, and actually I'm doing 75, and so they'll give you that grace. But don't pick up to 77, because he knows that then you are being egregious and you're going to break the law. And so when we look at Jesus and we begin to act like him, what happens is we don't have to worry about the law, because when we're in his will and operating in his will, we're doing what is required. So I think that's going to be it for tonight. But it was a good good lesson about the law and mercy and how it's important to have laws, but at the same time, you need to temper them with mercy. I know in the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. And so we have to keep all those things in mind and know that when we operate in the will of God, things work out the way God intended. All right? Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for allowing us to be able to come together and study your word. And God, we thank you for just refreshing our minds about how much your grace and your mercy has kept us. And God, we know in your word that it says that all of us have sinned and come short of your glory. God, but we thank you that your grace and your mercy superseded the penalty and you paid the price. And God, we pray that we would strive to be more and more like you, and so people would not see us, God, but they would see you and give your name the glory. God, we thank you for everyone that's in the studio, everyone that's online. God, we ask you to continue to bless them according to their several needs, according to your riches and glory. God, we ask a continued blessing on Dr. G and Sheila G and little Jesse. God, we just pray that you continue to bless the new birth family, God, and that you continue to bless the heart of God, church. God, we just pray that you continue to bless all of us, God, that we would strive to learn and be more about you so that you can receive honor, glory, and praise. And now, God, we pray that as we close out this day, those that are driving, God, we pray that you would grant them traveling mercy. Oh, God, they will be able to return safely to their homes and find them in their proper place and perspective. And, oh, God, those that are listening, and God, we pray that you continue to provide them safety. Oh, God, that you would hold the hand, that you would hold back the hand of the enemy, God, and they will be able to have peace and sleep and rest tonight. And, oh, God, we ask these and all other blessings in the precious and almighty name of Jesus, who is the Christ, and our spiritual soul says amen, amen, and amen. Good night. We'll see you hopefully on next Thursday night.